It's on Senate Bill 402. Is there a motion on Senate Bill 402?
This is the Wolf.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move Senate Bill 402 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Representative Mannix moves Senate Bill 402 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, we'll call the roll.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I just want to say it was time we did something about controlled substances in this state.
No. Controlled acts.
Share acts. Controlled share acts. Thank you, Representative Vice Chair Mason. No further discussion. The clerk will call the roll on Senate Bill 402.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Representative Bauman.
Aye.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Representative Clark.
Aye.
Representative Edmondson.
Yes, I think.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Mannix.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative Park.
Aye.
Representative Panseri.
Aye.
Chair Miller.
Votes aye. Senate Bill 402 is passed to the floor. Representative Baum.
I move that Representative Mason be declared unanimous consent to have to carry this bill.
He wants it back.
Well,
it's a drug bill.
I object.
Are you trying to?
If I object, if I can carry it as a drug bill, I'll take it.
Representative Baum will carry Senate Bill 402 to the floor. Close the work session on Senate Bill 402. Open the work session on House Bill 2127. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2127 is the consumer protection for membership campgrounds bill that was before the committee a couple of weeks ago. However, less than learned council failed to get the Dash 1 amendments included in the engrossed version of the bill. This requires a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments that are before you.
Thank you, Council. Is there a motion on the Dash 1 amendments? Highly technical in nature. Representative Mannix.
I move adoption of the Dash 1 amendments.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves the amendments entitled House Bill 2127-1. Is there objection to the amendments? Hearing none, they are adopted. Is there a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I
move
to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2127 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Auction at a state.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Representative Bauman.
Aye.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Representative Clark.
Aye.
Representative Edmondson.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Mannix.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative Parks.
Aye.
Representative Panseri.
Aye.
Chair Miller.
Votes aye. House Bill 2127 is passed to the floor. Representative Bell, would you please carry this major piece of legislation? Thank you very much. Close the work session.
Mr. Chair, if we could arrange to have the cook in the House lounge sing Tenting tonight on the day that this was on the floor, I think that would be appropriate.
Thank you. We will close the work session on House Bill 2127. Well, you know, they heard us that one day we said we would introduce every bill, and apparently they mistook that to mean we will hear any bill and pass it. All right, is there any further business?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. We'll open the conflict, the work session on House Bill 2375. Appreciate the cooperation we've demonstrated so far.
Don't do you any good.
Let's open the...
Do you want a description?
Okay. Yes. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2375 revises the Professional Corporation Act, which governs professional corporations, engineers, lawyers, doctors, architects, etc. The two main issues or main points in this bill are, one, it permits professional corporations to engage in any business authorized by the regulatory boards, including combinations, so that architects and attorneys could be in the same professional corporations. It also repeals a section of the current law that imposes joint and several liability on shareholders. Under this bill, if a shareholder committed a negligent act, another shareholder who was not involved in that transaction would not be held liable.
Thank you, Council. Representative Mannix?
I move House Bill 2375 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2375 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Hearing...
Mr. Chair.
Oh. Hearing Representative Clark.
I just was going to suggest that there probably is further discussion.
Well, go ahead. Did you have some?
Representative Edmondson has a comment.
Representative Edmondson.
Well,
yes, you promised you would.
We had, we considered, and I regret did not amend this bill to provide for the elimination of joint and several liability. Basically, that there would be no joint and several liability where there was insurance to cover these sorts of cases. I think we talked about in terms of a $500,000 policy, primarily because physicians who are concerned about this, and I understand that, carry such excess insurance so that they're, if they are held to be liable for the negligence of one of their partners, in the common sense, that they would be able to, they're covered through the insurance, the excess coverage. Attorneys, unfortunately, apparently, do not have, or at least are reluctant to have such coverage, and for that reason we did not amend this. And I believe that it would be a better bill, and indeed one which could enjoy a broad support if the bill provided for the insurance coverage protection, rather than simply create immunity for people in a professional corporation. My concern is that the public does not understand what PC stands for when they come. They think it's some sort of a degree, and that this bill says that partners in law are jointly and severally liable for the torts of their partners, whether or not they were actively negligent, but that if you incorporate and create a PC and put that behind your name, that you're not going to be responsible as partners are. And I think that we should have one standard. And until we change the law of partnership, I don't think we should change the law of professional corporations. And for that reason, I oppose the bill.
Thank you, Representative Edmondson. Further discussion? Representative Baum?
I think Representative Edmondson's first part comment was appropriate, but we need to think about the whole list of PC folks we got, down to veterinarians and all kinds of folks, that any kind of insurance limitation would be difficult for those people to deal with. And on the issue of partnerships and professional corporations, understand that partnerships weren't created for the benefit of doctors, attorneys, or anybody else. They're a benefit of business people who are combining assets and wanting to be partners and still share control of the corporations, I mean of the partnership. And that's the purpose of partnerships. Attorneys fall into that because of the PC statute doesn't give them any advantages, and neither do any other professionals. So partnership gave them the same advantages as PC, because PC provided no limited liability, and neither does partners. But partnership, don't be confused, wasn't created for professionals. It was created for people engaged in businesses and who wanted to be partners and were doing things in that manner. So there's three business entities: partnerships, PCs, and regular corporations, and they're all different, and they all serve a certain function. And we're only limiting liability here for a partner, or what would have otherwise been a partner, for a shareholder in a professional corporation for his own negligence, which would incur a negligent referral to another partner who wasn't prepared or competent to handle the case, but would limit him from having to know what his equal partner or a shareholder down the hall is doing on his cases on an individual basis. But he could be sued, or she could be sued, all the way to the wall, including their personal assets, for any negligence that he or his immediately supervised personnel commit. And this will allow the economies of scale to operate in certain rural communities, and this is why it's a big issue with me, as I think that if we're going to continue to have those services available in rural areas, we've got to encourage some professionals to be able to do this in a way that will encourage them to remain in those communities. So that's my purpose.
Representative Clark.
I appreciate Representative Baum's comments, and that was the reason that I floated the amendment in subcommittee that would eliminate joint and several liability if individuals carried $500,000 of malpractice insurance. I point out that the bar currently requires $300,000 in coverage, and so the proposed amendment, I think, was not outrageous in that regard. When I'm opposed to the bill after a great deal of thought. I opposed it last session, and I would like very much to vote for it, except for I can't get around the fact that there need, Representative Baum said that there are different business entities serve different purposes. And with the passage of this bill, I'm not sure what the difference is between a professional corporation and a regular corporation. And I recall when I first sat down to practice law, a senior partner in my firm sat me down and said, this is a law firm. We are a profession. We are not a trade. There are certain rights, responsibilities, privileges, and obligations that go with being a profession. And I admit that I may be limited by my own experience on this, but I have seen in our law shop the very careful attention that one partner gives to the work of another partner, the work habits of another partner, the procedures that are in place in the office. And I have to assume, I know for a fact that a big portion of that is professionalism, but a big portion of that is concern about joint and several liability. It seems perfectly appropriate to me to have that concern in the professional context, doctors and lawyers especially. And I don't believe that the fact that there are certain mega law firms and mega corporations, mega professional corporations these days, where you have an office in Seattle and an office in Portland, should necessarily relieve anybody in Seattle from making sure that the procedures are in place, that their Portland partners are practicing in a professional way without malpractice. So I generally oppose litigation statutes. I admit that the joint and several liability statute is a litigation statute, but I think it promotes a very important end, which is professionalism. I still believe that the practice of law and the practice of medicine are professions and not trades, and I think that this bill moves the whole business in the other direction.
Representative Mannix.
Yes, I'd like to point out that the whole reason that professional corporations are formed is to provide professional services. This law does not change the definition of a professional corporation as a corporation that's been formed to perform professional services. And that's what distinguishes it from other kinds of corporations. And unless the corporation is formed with a professional service in mind, you shouldn't be using the professional corporation law. In regard to the liability issue, the professional corporation itself, as a corporation, will be liable for the acts of its agents and its employees. You do have an entity there which can be liable. With partners, the issue of joint and several liability, in my mind, was always you had individuals who could somehow step back and say, I wasn't personally liable. So the law evolved over time to say that if you join together in terms of a partnership, the individuals in the partnership are jointly and severally liable. We do have a corporate entity here which can be liable. In addition, any professionals within that corporation, to the extent that they need to be insured, will be insured. Some of us who are professionals in corporations are insured because we're required to be by law. But I think it's important, finally, to address the issue of which comes first, liability or insurance. The proposed amendment that's being discussed is going to say, I'm going to absolve you from liability if you have insurance. The reason you get insurance is because you have liability. We're putting the cart before the horse. If you've got a professional corporation as an entity and you have professionals within this corporation, I think it's appropriate, as this bill requires, that those individuals look to themselves for their professional standards, that the professional standards and their liability apply to the people that work under their supervision, but that, for example, if I were one of many shareholders in a professional corporation, that no, I would not be liable for the acts and omissions of another professional down the hall unless I supervise that person. I think it's a fair limitation of liability as to other people who ought to be able to be responsible for their own actions. And if there's institutional liability, the liability lies with the corporation itself on whose behalf they acted. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Just a question.
One Representative Baumann.
Issues discussed is whether professionals may incorporate under the Business Corporation Act. It's not addressed in this bill, is it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Baumann, there is a Senate bill that does address that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Edmondson.
I just want to correct. I believe I misstated. The amendment was not to provide insurance for the shareholders, but that the professional corporation would maintain insurance. And if that insurance were provided or maintained, then shareholders would not be liable. That joint and several liability would exist only where the insurance was not certified.
Thank you, Representative Edmondson. Representative Vice Chair Mason.
Well, I was not the member of the subcommittee that considered this bill, but I'm going to oppose it, mainly on the grounds that I see the bill as really creating two classes of professional groups. And I think the bill is going to benefit the large partnership or PC, the mega firm, but I don't see it helping the Miller and Masons of the world, or
you know, practice a lot.
Well, anyway, whatever it is, Bow, Murgatroyd, and so and so. I don't see it helping this small firm that much, if at all. And I'm a little bothered by that, because when you you can be fairly sure that bless their hearts, that when it comes to stolen, whoever they are now, that they're going to be nice and insulated. So this is really, all animals are equal, but some are more than equal than others.
I got a comment.
Mr. Chair?
A few closing comments. We'll probably get some chance
I'd respond to
discussion.
Representative Mason's point.
Representative
I think the actuality is the opposite. Large firms are going to have tons of insurance, because they know that the guy down this hall has no idea what they're doing in their room, and vice versa. On the other hand, the small town law firm that has maybe three people in it, they may have a little bit better idea of what each other's doing, but still they each have their own little group of clients. And the attorney, I'm speaking of attorneys because that's the kind of PC I'm familiar with, will operate on his clients and so on down through the small office. It's very traumatic, as you can assume, any time from your representation of defendants in lawsuits, civil lawsuits, if you are an innocent person and that you had nothing to do with the thing, and we've probably all seen cases where people are drug into lawsuits or joined as defendants even though they had nothing to do with it, it's a terribly traumatic experience for people. And I think the odds that the small town firm won't have the huge amount of insurance, and the chance that there'll be some actual potential liability on these innocent partners, if you want to call them that, is great. And I think this bill actually will help the small firms and small towns better than it will help the big firms.
Thank you. Further comments? If Representative Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to comment again that you keep assuming that all of these suits are brought because of negligence or poor practices, when in reality, among professionals, many of them are judgment calls, that individuals acting under the best knowledge they have and the best information they have at the time make a decision, or perhaps something slips and they have an accident. I do not see why a physician down the hall should be responsible for those kinds of calls. It's an unfair punishment to the other partners in the firm.
Thank you very much, Judge Parks.
I'd like to say, Mr. Chairman, that I'm going to vote for the bill, not just because I remember who stuck with me this morning, but because I want to get it to the floor and get it decided. And I'm going to keep an open mind at that point.
Thank you, Judge Parks. Further comments? If not, the clerk will call the roll on House Bill 2375 as amended.
Mr. Chair, before we take vote, I have to announce a potential conflict. I'm the owner of a PC, although I have no other partners, so this joint civil liability has no application to me. It's still, just for the record, I have potential conflict,
Johnson.
And I serve oral notice that I'm handing the clerk a written statement of my potential conflict.
Well, I appreciate that. Representative Edmondson?
Well, I also own a PC, however, I do not practice under it. I am a sole proprietor.
Thank you, Representative Mannix.
Same potential conflict. I own a PC. I'm the sole shareholder, but I do have attorney associates.
Representative
Johnson, your written notice there, at least we establish a precedent. And what happens around here is once somebody does it, everybody does it. Why do you think you need a written notice, if I might?
Just so it will be in the file if anybody ever
just
looks in the file without having to look up the tapes.
We got so much coverage. All right. The clerk will call the roll on House Bill 2375.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
No.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
No.
Representative Clark?
No.
Representative Edmondson?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
No.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. The bill is passed to the floor, 7-5. Is that
Mr. Chair?
Just a moment. Bill is passed to the floor. Representative Mannix, would you please carry that bill on the floor? Representative Edmondson?
I'd be pleased to serve notice of a possible minority report on House Bill 2375.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson serves notice of a possible minority report on House Bill 2375.
As a courtesy, do we somebody have to join with him?
No, he just needs a second signature. Okay. I don't think there needs to be a second notice, unless there are multiple reports. All right. Is there any further business to come before the full Judiciary Committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark?
The Subcommittee on Family Justice will pick up at 2:30.
Thank you. I want to thank very much the committee for their good work today. 21 bills in an hour and 20 minutes is no small accomplishment, and really the thanks goes to the subcommittees and the council. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend for those of you able to depart.